morning and welcome to worship. We want to invite you to join us and ask. In asking God to join us today as we worship Him. Is that better? Okay, anyway. We want you to join us today, inviting God to come and be with us as we worship. Our call to worship is, "I Will Call Upon the Lord." It's sung in a round, so those of you over there, I can't remember if that's the Democrat or the Republican side, but this side will sing with Jim, Sheila, and Sherry, and you on this side will come in with us. It'll be sung twice, so if you aren't familiar with it, by the second time around, you should be able to catch on.
My short-term memory were better, we could have done all the actions that go with that song. But I don't remember them. Yeah. Well, good morning. And welcome to worship this morning as we gather as God's people on this 17th Sunday after Pentecost. For those of you who weren't here last week, I'm Jeff Masakovic. I'm a retired pastor living over in Baxter, Minnesota. And it's been my privilege to be here last week and this week. And I pray for your smooth transition as you search for another pastor. A couple of announcements. The parsonage is open again this morning. If you did not get a chance to go through it last week and form your own opinions about what needs to be done over there, today is the day to do that. So please take advantage of that. Also, today is God's Work Our Hands Sunday in the ELCA, and a group from this church is going to be picking up garbage at the Carlsona Ready Creek Beach. 11:30, not 11 o'clock, as it says in the bulletin. 11:30. And there are other announcements on the back of the bulletin also. What were you doing 15 years ago at 9:45 in the morning? Today's one of those days that we remember. That's when the first airplane hit the Twin Tower in New York City. A lot's happened since then. Our country is very different than it was 15 years ago. But as God's people, we gather in hope. In hope that somehow our differences can be overcome and we can learn to live in peace on this gorgeous planet that God's given us. And our gospel lesson today is going to talk about how God is involved, always seeking, always seeking, never giving up on those who are lost. And we're included in that group sometimes. We'll say more about that during the sermon. Any other announcements this morning that need to be made? Well, then let's turn to our opening hymn, All of My Life.
Our opening hymn is All of My Life. As Christians, we want to be living abundant lives, and we can be doing this by asking forgiveness for our sins, being grateful for what God has given us, and then because of all that we've been given, we need to pass that on and show love to our neighbors.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the only Sovereign, who dwells in light, Christ Jesus, who came to save sinners, the Holy Spirit, who lives within us.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another. God of overflowing grace, we come to you with repentant hearts. Forgive us for shallow thankfulness. Forgive us for passing by the ones in need. Forgive us for setting our hopes on fleeting treasures. Forgive us our neglect and thoughtlessness. Bring us home from the wilderness of sin and strengthen us to serve you in all that we do and say. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. There is joy in heaven over every sinner who repents. By the grace of God in Christ Jesus, who gave himself up for us all, your sins are forgiven and you are made free. Rejoice with the angels and with one another. We are at home in God's mercy now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. O God, overflowing with mercy and compassion, you lead us back to yourself, all those who go astray. Preserve your people in your loving care, that we may reject whatever is contrary to you and may follow all things that sustain our life. In your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Our anthem today is Amazing Love, You Are My King. And it's about God's love for us and is based on Luke 23:34. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. It's such an amazing love that God has given us that he sent Jesus down to earth to die and then to rise again that we might have eternal life.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. Well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be? You drive me to that glory. Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you. I honor you. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive. Well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be?
Exodus 32:7-14. While Moses was on the Mount of Sinai, the people grew restless and made a golden calf to worship. Today's reading shows Moses as the mediator between an angry God and a sinful people. Moses reminds God that the Israelites are God's own people and boldly asks mercy for them. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down at once. Your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have acted perversely. They have been quick to turn aside from the way that I commanded them. They have cast for themselves an image of a calf, and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it, and said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought us up out of the land of Egypt." The Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, how stiff-necked they are. Now let me alone, so that I may have my wrath may burn hot against them and may consume them, and you I will make a great nation." But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, "O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'It was the evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth'? Turn from your fierce wrath, change your mind, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, how you swore to them by your own self, saying to them, 'I will multiply your descendants like the stars of heaven, and all this land I will have promised, I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever.' The Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he planned to bring on his people." The psalm is Psalm 51, 1 through 10. We'll read responsively. You guys will read the bold print, and when you see the bold R, you will read, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. In your great compassion, blot out my offenses. For I know my offenses, and my sin is ever before me. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. Indeed, you delight in truth deep within me, and would have me know wisdom deep within. Oh, sorry. Indeed, I was born steeped in wickedness, a sinner from my mother's womb.
Indeed, you delight in truth deep within me, and would have me know wisdom deep within.
Remove my sins from hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be purer than snow. Hide your face from sins, and blot out all my wickedness. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
The gospel for today is found in the gospel according to Luke, the 15th chapter. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. "Which of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." The Gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Once there was a little lamb. Cute, cuddly little lamb. Loved and cared for tenderly by its mother. The little lamb caught the eye of the shepherd. And every day in the heat of the afternoon, the shepherd would pick up that little lamb and lay it on his lap, and the lamb would sleep safely, contentedly. And as that little lamb grew, the lamb learned about the dangers of the pasture, the gopher holes where he could slip and step and break a leg, the venomous snakes whose poison could paralyze it, the wolves and the lions whose attack could snatch it away from the flock for eating, and the fast-rushing waters of the stream that could knock it off its feet and carry it away to its death. But the little lamb also learned about the safety of being in the flock and which grasses were the most delicious. One day the whole flock was led up to a pasture by the shepherd, a pasture the little lamb had never seen before. It was a beautiful meadow up in the hills. The grass was wonderful. The stream moving across that meadow was slow. And the lamb, as well as the other sheep, felt like they were in heaven. They put down their heads and they began nibbling at that succulent, delicious grass. Every once in a while, they would look up and see if the other sheep were still around and if the shepherd was close by. The little lamb had never seen such abundance. He put down his head and he started to eat and eat and eat. The little lamb was so focused on nibbling that grass, not missing any morsels, that he didn't look up quite as often as he should have. The little lamb wandered this way and wandered that way, savoring, enjoying every mouthful. Suddenly, the little lamb realized how quiet it was. He looked up and there were no other sheep around. He bleated. Mother didn't answer. He bleated again, even louder, but the shepherd didn't come. And the little lamb realized he was lost. He didn't know what to do about it. You recognize, of course, that's just an expanded version of the parable that we just heard. The sheep who nibbled his way to being lost. The sheep who thought that life was so great, didn't know he was drifting away from the flock until it was too late. Everybody has a story about being lost, I think. Some of us have more than one. I remember I was living in Arizona for a year or two. I was visiting in Sedona one time. Sedona's a gorgeous place. There's lots of hiking trails out into the desert in Sedona, and I love to hike. I had a map with me. I'd hiked the trail before, so I thought I knew where I was going. It was one of those trails that you go out and then you come back. There's all sorts of other trails that crisscross along the way. The way back took a lot longer than the way out. I missed a turn. And about 20 minutes later, I recognized that place. I'd passed it before. And so I stopped and was smart enough to ask somebody. They said, yeah, the trail goes this way, not that way. It wasn't marked well at all. But I found the right path, and just like that sheep, I got back. Sometimes we do get lost. Sometimes we do get turned around. Sometimes we get disoriented and think we're on the right path when we're not. We're all lost to some degree or another. Or we're at least in the process of nibbling our way to being lost. It's what the Pharisees and the scribes didn't recognize about themselves in that story that we heard this morning. I'm not sure we always recognize ourselves on that path of nibbling ourselves to being lost either. Here's some observations as I've thought this week about nibbling ourselves to being lost. The signature gift, the thing that sets Christianity apart from every other religion, is forgiveness. None of the other religions talk about forgiveness the way we do. It's not a central part of every worship service the way it is ours. Jesus proclaimed forgiveness from the cross. Remember that one guy hanging next to him, dying as he died? He pronounced forgiveness for that man. Jesus died on the cross for this gift of forgiveness. And when he was raised, he breathed the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of forgiveness into the disciples. And yet, as I live my life and watch people and listen to people, it seems like we find it so easy to take that gift and put it on the shelf. Leave it there. We tend to replace forgiveness with harboring resentment and anger and divisiveness and hostility to anyone who's not like us. I think that's a sign that we're nibbling ourselves into lost. I suspect you, like me, grew up with these life-giving stories in the Bible. Wonderful stories. They shaped us as young people. We are who we are, hopefully, because of some of those stories that we heard. But it seems to me that we don't care much about those stories anymore. Our grandchildren, our children are growing up oftentimes without those stories. And it doesn't seem to matter. The stories that we learn around the kitchen table and during devotions, we heard them as bedtime stories. We heard them in our Sunday school lessons, in worship sermons, the stories about Zacchaeus, that wee little guy who Jesus came to visit. The prodigal son, the one who spent his whole inheritance then came begging back home for his dad to forgive him. And his dad did. The feeding of the 5,000, Daniel in the lion's den, Jonah in the whale, Joseph with that coat with so many colors, and the lost sheep. Now I know that today in North Dakota, where I spent the last 40 years, this the second Sunday in September is called Rally Sunday. I don't know if that's a tradition in Minnesota or not, but Sunday school starts and kind of the vacation season's over, and there's a lot more people that show up in church on Rally Sunday than most other Sundays. But I know from being a pastor for 40 years that in a few weeks, the numbers are going to start to drop. Because there's going to be hockey on Sunday mornings, and there's going to be basketball tournaments, and we're going to need a vacation at the motel and go swimming with the kids. And then there's going to be those Saturday night concerts in Grand Forks and Fargo that we just can't miss. And there's going to be dance recitals. And there's going to be busy Saturdays, and we're just going to have to sleep on Sunday to catch up. We're going to be lured away from that Sunday morning routine. That's a sign of nibbling ourselves to lostness. Another sign. When I was a kid, the Ten Commandments were on the school walls where I went to grade school. They're not there anymore. In fact, there are very few churches that I've been in that still have the Ten Commandments on their church walls someplace. Most of us have taken our family Bibles off the coffee table. Devotion books don't sit on the corner of the kitchen table anymore the way my grandma's did and my mom's did. We've determined we don't need Sabbaths. We don't need this hour to separate ourselves from the world and refocus our lives. We need more days to shop. And by doing these things and a host of other seemingly reasonable things, we seem to be nibbling our way into lostness, just as assuredly as those self-righteous scribes and Pharisees that Jesus is speaking to in our text. Now, all these things I've said, I believe are true. We're nibbling ourselves into lostness. But the parable's not just about being lost. These two parables are also about being found. The only thing worse for a sheep than being lost is to be lost and not have anybody notice. Or to have a shepherd who does notice but doesn't care enough to go out and drop everything and look for the sheep. Now, these parables we recognize as absolutely ridiculous. They're absurd. Nobody in their right mind would risk losing 99 sheep and leave them and go out and look for one who's nibbled its way into lostness. And nobody would call their friends and relatives and throw a block party that costs more than the sheep is worth just to celebrate that they found the sheep. Silly. But God does just that. God, our shepherd, acts in such a foolish way, and that's really what this parable's about. Tenaciously, with determination that can only be imagined, God, the shepherd, relentlessly pursues each and every one of us. We're God's prized possessions. Respectability, doing the sensible thing, are not part of God's demand on us. But joy and celebration and delight and worship, those are the rightful responses of God's people over being claimed by God. Do you remember where Jesus is headed when he tells these parables? We've been reminded every week for the last 4, 5, 6 weeks. Luke told us he's on his way to Jerusalem. He's on that road when he meets these scribes and Pharisees. His face, Luke said, his steel is set. He's determined he's going to get there. He's on his way to save the lost. Those who know they're lost and those who don't. Even those who have unintentionally nibbled themselves into being lost. Thank God. Thank God that he's on his way. And what a celebration there's going to be when we're found. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all of our understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Please join us with Wonderful, Merciful Savior as the offering is collected.
Let us pray together the offertory prayer. Merciful God, as grains of wheat scattered upon the hills were gathered together to become one bread, so let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory of Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen. Rejoicing in the Spirit's work among us, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. Gracious God, we thank you for your word that strengthens the weak and the faint in heart. We thank you for your word that encourages the believer and saves sinners. Hear us, O God. We pray for those places in our world ravaged by fires or floods. Restore the land and bless the efforts of those who work to save and protect it. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for the leaders of nations and all those in positions of authority. Guide them as they make decisions for the good of all. Lead them in the ways that make for peace. And during this time of public debate, preparing for elections, may your will for us somehow shine through. Hear us, O God. We pray for those who suffer as the result of war and violence, terrorism, or natural disaster. We pray for those who willingly serve others in dangerous situations, first responders, firefighters, emergency medical personnel, members of the military, law enforcement. Their selfless examples of service are a gift to us all. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for our congregation. In the midst of this transition, we pray you would lead us to a pastor with whom we can continue to serve you. Make this a place of hope for the least of these in our community. Be with those who are sick or injured or in any need. Hear us, O God. Let us remember with thanksgiving the blessed dead who rest from their labors. Gladden us by their lives of faith, and at the last day unite us in the joy of heaven. Hear us, O God. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy. Through your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now our praise band is going to lead us in the Lord's Prayer, and we invite everyone to join them in singing along. May God Almighty send you light and truth to keep you all the days of your life. The hand of God protect you, the holy angels accompany you, and the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen. Go in peace. Remember the poor.
Thanks be to God.
As you go on your way, may God be with you. May He go before you to show you the way. May He go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you.
for coming.
Thanks for worshiping with us. Next month, we're going to try to polka.